A flickering letter I appears, followed by the letters F and C. IFC Midnight. Part of the M drips red. From a black background, a hand appears. The fingers open. In its palm are letters. The hand tosses the letters in the air. They form the words, Hanway Films. The hand disappears. In animation, a small figure throws a stone. It skips on a pond. Cat of nine tails grow along the shore. The scene through a hole forms the O in Riverstone Pictures, a Reliance Entertainment company. White lines fly past to form a maze-like structure, outlining a T in the center. Words appear, Tea Shop Productions. A woman scrubs a metal piece of furniture with a soapy rag. Her straight brown hair is pulled back in a bun. In a living room, the woman stops cleaning the metal chair. She approaches a man who sits on the edge of a hospital bed. She pats his back. He rests his face on her chest. She rubs his back and nuzzles the back of his neck with her face. She sits on the bed next to him. She taps a dispenser and places a pill in his mouth.
Yeah. Got it.
He nods. She takes a glass from the side table. He sips water from a straw. She smiles, her lips tight. The man swallows.
It's okay, it's okay.
She rubs his throat. She caresses his bearded chin. He looks at her. She holds his head against her chest, resting her chin on his head.
Everything's okay.
With a furrowed brow, she stares off. She kisses his forehead.
Come here, gorgeous, and slow you down.
She gently lowers him onto the pillows. She smiles at him and caresses his face. She wears a red kimono. She lifts his legs from the floor, placing them on the bed. The man watches the woman. In the kitchen, the woman enters. The electric stove is a black square on a white countertop. The woman, Holly, places greens from a plastic bag into a blender. Holly watches the greens spin into a liquid. Holly stares off. The green liquid spins in the blender. Holly looks at the liquid. The green liquid starts to turn red. She frowns. In the living room, the man spits up blood. He lies on the floor next to a puddle of blood and solids.
Jason! Shit, no! Go!
An open bottle of bleach is on the floor nearby.
Shit! Fuck!
In the blender, solids in the red liquid sink. In the living room, Holly kneels next to the man. She talks to him, her arms around him. On a landing above, a young woman watches the scene with her mouth agape, eyes wide. She furrows her brow.
Mom?
Cut to black. White letters appear. A banquet. The title fades away. Gloved fingers stretch a mouth wide open.
A little bit wider. Let me just clean these a bit. That's good.
Holly sits in the corner. She stares out the door. She watches a woman holding a clipboard talking to another woman.
All right, Isabel, you're all done for today.
Isabel, a young woman with braided pigtails, wears a blue school jacket and tie. She looks at Holly staring out the door.
Mum!
Holly looks at Isabel.
All good. Good?
At Holly's house, silhouetted by a window, small, delicate leaves hang from thin branches in a vase. On a wooden dining room table, an ornate wooden fork and spoon in a white bowl. A plate and silverware sit on a blue placemat with a blue cloth napkin. A wooden staircase leads to the second floor. Inside a bedroom are three young women. Betsy, the girl from the landing, sits on the bed. The others sit on the floor.
And everyone can see from, like, the science corridor everything.
Why would you say that now? It was so hot.
I just think it's important for you to know.
Oh, that's very helpful. Thank you. I'm so embarrassed. Oh, right, where are we going to put these letters?
I actually think they could be nice, just, like, in the middle. Just so it's...
I don't know, I think that's a lot. Like, it's just a lot going on if it's in the middle. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Max just put our campaign in a story.
But isn't that kind of the point, though, just to get attention and raise money?
I don't know. I think if you move to the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, just, yeah, move all
of
them.
Yeah, so like that.
Yeah, it's not so on the nose. Like, it's just, yeah, so just...
Yeah, no.
That
works as well.
What are you guys wearing tomorrow?
I'm wearing this really nice jean jacket. It's really nice. I'm not lying.
Betsy sees Isabel and Holly enter the house.
Guys, you don't understand how bad these sweat patches were. I'm not joking. It looks like really nice.
Isabel places grocery bags on the floor. She slips off her white leather loafers. Holly looks at the loafers.
Isabel!
In front of an open refrigerator, Isabel opens a container of cooked chicken. She bites into a drumstick covered in red sauce. It coats her lips and drips onto the floor.
Isabel, can you move your shoes?
Holly shakes her head. Yeah, she looks at Betsy, who smiles back and sticks out her tongue. Holly sticks hers out and walks away. Holly places her keys on a counter. She looks at a stack of mail. She leans back against the wall and stares off. Betsy exits the bedroom, closing the door behind her.
Hey, how'd it go?
Oh, God, it's just another flagrant guilt trip about her poor thumb-sucking gums. I mean, the only brace that she will even begin to consider is some invisible thing. I mean, it's just going to burn through our savings.
Murder.
Hey.
Betsy smiles. She opens her arms and nods. They embrace. Holly rests her face on Betsy's shoulder and caresses Betsy's hair. At the school library...
I've got one more thing for you. Take one of these. Okay, see you next week.
Betsy writes in a notebook.
Betsy Hughes?
Betsy looks up. She closes the notebook and stands. She approaches a bearded man in a light suit.
Hi, Betsy.
Betsy sits opposite him.
Hi.
Are you any closer to narrowing down your options?
I'm just still thinking.
Your highest grades are across the sciences. You were leaning that way before, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm not really sure science is my thing anymore.
I see that you've taken some time out from school, and that may mean that it will take you a little bit longer to come to a decision.
She fiddles with her pen.
Have you considered a gap year? Travel, maybe?
I don't think my mum would like that very much.
Well, you've got a couple more weeks for the extended deadline, but you'll need to allow time for the forms and statement. Why don't you sign up for another appointment next week? And in the meantime, have a think about what really interests you. Maybe start a list.
In her notebook are the underlined words, "What really interests me." She stares at them. A plate of half-eaten orange wedges holds the notebook open. Betsy takes red lipstick. She holds a small mirror and applies it to her lips. Betsy Betsy looks at a large round mirror that sits on a bookshelf. She wears a thick coating of mascara on her eyes. On the bookshelf are family photos. In one, Holly and Betsy are sticking out their tongues. Betsy looks away from her reflection. In the backyard, Holly digs with a hand rake and a trowel. She places a plant in the hole. Inside, Isabel slowly turns, her hands behind her back. She wears headphones, her eyes closed. She slowly raises her hands above her head and tilts her head sideways. She sways from side to side. She wears pink ballet slippers. Betsy walks onto the landing looking at her phone. She looks down at Isabel. Betsy smiles. She walks down the stairs toward Isabel. Betsy widens her eyes and leans into Isabel.
Hey, sorry. Well, you look nice. I like your lips.
Thanks. Trying something new. Hey. Yeah, yeah, I'll be right out. Yeah, okay. Hey, Dom's waiting for me.
Betsy kisses Isabel's forehead.
See you later. Mom? Mom? Mom, I'm going now.
Betsy walks outside.
Trying to say goodbye. You okay?
Fine, just hiding from the washing up. Staying at Dominic's tonight?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure yet.
Okay, text me when you know. Okay? Have fun. Love you.
I love you back.
Betsy smiles and walks away. Through the glass window, Holly watches Isabel twirl. Holly looks at the ground. Her smile fades. Nighttime, at a party, Betsy's friends dance to the music. They hold drinks in their hands. Betsy sits alone on a large leather couch. She watches a young woman chug her drink. Betsy raises her eyebrows. She watches a young man and woman kissing. They stick their tongues into each other's mouths. She looks away, shakes her head, and takes a breath. Betsy smiles as three young men sit on either side of her. One of them has a beard. He places a glass of wine on the coffee table. Betsy picks it up. She barely sips it and puts it back.
You wanna try something?
Another young man shakes a miniature baggie containing a white powder. They all grin. Betsy smiles and nods.
Hi.
The man with the baggie opens it. He empties a small amount of white powder onto the solid black coffee table. He chops it with a blade. He rolls a paper bill into a straw. He hands it to Betsy. She smiles and takes the straw. She sits on the edge of the couch and leans over the coffee table. She snorts the line of white powder. She grabs her nose and scrunches her eyes closed.
What's that?
It's just powdered alcohol. It's just powdered alcohol. Are you okay?
You're an asshole.
I'm sorry. It's a joke. You know what they got me to. Hey, I'm sorry.
It's fine. I'm going out for a smoke.
I'm sorry, baby. It's just a bit of fun. It's not. I'm a victim and all.
Let's get out of here.
No. Let's get close.
Great.
Betsy slowly walks out of the room. She touches her nose. She enters the kitchen. Partygoers mill about. They drink. Some look at their phones. Betsy puts a cigarette in her mouth. She walks out of an open sliding glass door to the backyard. Betsy cups her hands to light the bent cigarette. She takes a puff. She looks off and shakes her head. She stares at the ground and smokes. Betsy looks towards the sky. Above the trees is a blood-red moon. A small black cloud passes in front of it. Betsy blows smoke and stares at it. The young man with the beard sits on the couch. Through the kitchen, he sees Betsy standing outside. Partygoers block his view. They move away. Betsy is gone.
Dom, should I get a drink? And help yourself.
The young man with the beard stands. At the edge of a field is a wall of thick green trees. Betsy walks along the edge of the trees. She walks slowly and faces the dark forest. She stands in the shadow of the trees and stares ahead. She slowly walks into the forest. Clouds cover the blood-red moon. In the kitchen, the revelers raise their glasses high in a toast.
You tell yours, mate. You're the one that's not been drinking.
Outside, Betsy emerges from the dark woods. She staggers toward the house.
What's Betsy doing?
The young man with the beard looks outside. He sees Betsy stagger. He furrows his brow.
Oh, my God.
Betsy falls on the grass.
Stop!
Holly drives up the tree-lined pathway to the party house. The young man and Betsy sit on the steps. Betsy is hunched over. She stares at the ground. Betsy sees the headlights approach. With her arms folded, she quickly walks toward the car.
Oh, love, what happened?
Can you please just go home?
The young man with the beard puts his hands in his pockets. At Holly's house, in the kitchen, chopped parsley, red bell peppers and lime are on a cutting board. Strips of bacon fry in a pan. Betsy enters the kitchen wearing a bathrobe. Holly grinds black pepper on toasted bread, topped with smashed avocados and red bell pepper. The plate is decorated with drops of oil. Holly moves quickly. She pours hot water over coffee in a filter. A haze of bacon smoke rises from the frying pan. Betsy, shivering, watches her mother.
Hey, Mom. Hey! Feeling better?
I don't know. My skin's all tingly.
Tingling?
Yeah. Yeah, like numb or something.
How much did you drink?
It's not that.
Holly neatens the chopped parsley.
Hey, Papa. Don't worry, it's probably just, you know, a little allergic reaction, maybe from, you know, sulfates or a little bug. Probably just hungover. I'm going to take Izzy to the rink later. I don't know. Do you want a lift or do you want to come? She'd really like that.
The bacon burns and fat sprays from the pan. Betsy stares at it and shivers.
Shit!
At a skating rink, Isabel and a man with grey hair and beard step onto the ice and skate next to each other.
Okay, so we're going around this circle this morning, and we're going to go round. Yes, we're going to try balancing on our one leg.
Holly and Betsy watch from the stands. Holly picks up a piece of sushi with her chopsticks. She offers it to Betsy. Betsy shakes her head and scrunches her nose. She watches Holly bite into it. Holly looks at her and Betsy shakes her head.
I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Holly, watching Isabel, nods. The man instructs Isabel, who skates on one leg. Holly chews and smiles. She looks to the side and sees Betsy talking to a woman. Betsy points toward Holly. The woman smiles and waves at Holly.
Hi, Sarah.
The woman climbs the steps to Holly's robe. Isabel skates.
It's fine. I could have it worse, of course.
She looks at Holly.
I don't mean to moan. What about you? How are things?
I'm keeping busy.
Where's Betsy applying to uni?
She doesn't know yet.
It's been a difficult year for her, poor thing. For all of you.
It's not just that, though, you know. I don't know.
What?
It doesn't matter.
What?
No, it's nothing, really. It's
no,
go silly.
On, what?
I just wonder what the point of it all is, you know?
I know. You really have to wonder what's a degree even worth these days.
Holly stares off.
And pressure these girls are getting from all sides. You know, with the testing and all the extracurricular stuff. I said to Caroline the other day, you need to be careful, you really need to buckle down and do something.
Holly squints. She looks across the ice rink. Betsy stands at an entrance to the ice rink. A young girl skates past Betsy. Holly furrows her brow and tilts her head. She stares at Betsy. Betsy stands still. Her arms hang at her sides. Her eyes are fixed towards the ceiling. Betsy tilts her head. Holly straightens in her seat. Sarah keeps talking. Betsy lowers her gaze. Daytime, at a doctor's office.
It started about a week ago. It started 7 days ago. Sorry, it started exactly a week ago.
Okay.
And it comes in waves. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all over my body sometimes. Like, my skin just shuts off.
Shuts off?
Yeah. I don't know, it's weird.
Is it happening right now?
Betsy shakes her head.
Any other symptoms? Fatigue, muscle ache, memory issues?
I haven't really been eating.
Oh.
I just get nauseous around food since it started.
Would you mind popping onto the bed for me, please? Just leave your book. If you could lie down for me. If you could pull your shirt up for me so I can just examine your tummy a second. That's good. That's that.
With both hands, he gently presses on her abdomen.
Feel any pain? No?
Holly watches. The doctor presses back and forth on Betsy's stomach.
Good. You can sit up for me. So, how's down below? Passing urine, bowel movements, menstrual cycles.
That's, it's all fine.
Are you sexually active?
That's not the problem.
Using protection?
We've discussed being safe.
So, stress at home? Stress at school?
No.
It's probably just some viral thing passing through her system, but we'll do the blood work just to make sure, okay?
Okay.
Blood flows through a tube taped to Betsy's arm. It fills a syringe. Vials of blood are placed on the counter. On the label is surname Hughes, forename Betsy. Nighttime. In their dining room, Betsy sits at the opposite end of the table from Isabel.
How was it?
It's a bit weird, but fine.
Why? What did he do?
Check my blood.
What, you have to get a needle?
Yeah. Just do that one, like in here. I know.
No, it's just more wait to see now.
Sounds like nothing. Trust in the doctors, Holly. They know more than you do.
Don't do that.
Do what?
I know what you're doing and I'm asking you to stop.
Shall I come and visit?
No, I'm fine.
You sure? I can't make the time.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No.
I'll send some money then. Get some help with the cleaning.
I told you, I don't need that. I'm fine. Thank you for offering.
Get a massage, you sound tense.
Okay, I have to go now.
Well, keep me in the loop, darling.
Bye, Mummy.
Holly holds a bread basket. She looks at the bread she sliced. She enters the dining room. She touches Isabel's pigtails.
Granny sends hi. Sends hugs and kisses.
Hi, Granny.
Want some bread? No. Hey, babe.
Holly places the bread basket on the table next to Betsy. She sits.
Do you want to try just a tiny little bit?
I'm not hungry.
So I thought maybe if we just start you off with a few simple things.
Mum, can you pass the,
Yeah.
Holly passes a bowl of small whole potatoes. She watches Isabel take some.
Thank you.
Holly takes the bowl from Isabel. She shows it to Betsy. Betsy fiddles with her necklace. She looks at Holly. Holly places the bowl on the table. Holly's plate has a pile of green peas and a small cooked fish with its head. She opens her fish with a knife and fork. Holly shakes her head.
I don't really know what to do with you, Bets.
You feel like you need to do something with me?
I mean, do for you.
Isabel looks down at her plate.
Don't play with my words, okay?
Holly chews. She lowers her shoulders and rolls her head. She motions to Betsy. Holly takes the plate from in front of Betsy. Holly scrapes the potatoes and most of the peas from Betsy's plate onto her plate.
There. So five little tiny weeny peas. They're not gonna hurt you.
Holly places the plate in front of Betsy. Isabel watches. Betsy stares at the five peas. She pushes the plate away.
I said I'm not hungry.
Sweetie, you can't just live on tea. It's not healthy.
Holly drinks red wine from a wine glass. Isabel looks at Betsy. Betsy looks down. She twitches. Holly takes the plate away from Betsy. She scrapes four peas off, leaving one in the middle. Holly wipes the edge of the black plate with a black napkin. She places it in front of Betsy.
Here.
Mum, I was just been to the doctor, so maybe she doesn't have to eat it. Like, shouldn't feel well.
Thank you, Izzy. That's so helpful.
Isabel looks at her plate. Holly rests her head on her hand. She looks at Betsy.
Please. Betsy, please.
Betsy looks at the pea. She places her hand on her fork and slowly lifts it. She puts it in her right hand. She punctures the pea with her fork. She lifts the pea slowly towards her mouth. She looks at Holly. Holly's brow is furrowed. Isabel stares at Betsy, who slowly moves the pea closer to her mouth. Betsy places the pea in her mouth. She chews.
Good, right?
Yeah.
Here, have some more.
Holly grabs the bowl with the peas and scoops a pile onto Betsy's plate. Holly smiles at Betsy, who frowns. Betsy gags. She puts her hand to her throat. She drinks some water. Her eyes widen. She stands hunched over the table. Holly holds Betsy's arm. Betsy falls to the floor. Holly hovers over her. She slaps Betsy's back.
Are you calling? Quick! Yes?
Isabel makes a phone call. Holly holds Betsy from behind. Betsy lies on a gurney, her eyes open. She's rolled into an MRI machine. A red laser shines on her face for alignment. Betsy is rolled out of the machine. She looks around without moving her head. In the waiting room, Holly and Betsy sit on chairs. Betsy sleeps on her arm. A physician approaches Holly, who stands.
I'd recommend any of the names on this list just to explore some possibilities.
Okay.
Holly smiles and takes the document. On it, psychiatric referrals. Betsy looks over Holly's shoulder. Holly folds it over. In a grocery store, Holly and Betsy walk slowly down an aisle of canned goods. Holly pushes a shopping cart. Holly takes a single can from a buy one, get one free display. She places it in the cart. They don't look at each other. At Holly's house, Holly hangs up Betsy's coat and stretches. Betsy, arms folded, watches her. Holly fills her arms with rolls of toilet paper. She drops one. Betsy picks it up.
Hey, Bets.
Yeah? We'll figure this out, okay?
Okay.
We will, trust me.
Betsy looks at the toilet roll in her hand. She holds it out and Holly takes it.
What if there isn't anything to figure out, though?
You're not crazy. There's something going on and we will find out what it is.
Mum. What if this is just me now?
What do you mean?
I don't know. I think...
Betsy takes a deep breath.
What?
Some people are just destined for stuff, right? Like, some people are just special like that.
This is not your destiny. Bets, you can be whatever you want. You can be anything. That's it. I'm gonna go and put these in your bathroom. Okay.
Okay.
Betsy stares ahead. She shakes her head and looks at the floor. In the bathroom, Holly removes an almost finished roll of toilet paper from its holder. She stares off. She unwraps a new roll. Holding it on her lap, she unrolls a small portion. She folds the edges towards the middle to form an arrow shape. She folds it again, forming an origami sailboat. She places the roll on the toilet paper holder. She furrows her eyebrows, her eyes tear. She sits and shivers. Betsy takes canvas grocery bags in both hands. She walks down the landing steps to the living room. Betsy stands still. She walks slowly toward the wall of windows. Sun's light filters in through thin white curtains. Betsy stops. She stares. She raises her arms over her head, bags full of groceries in each hand. She stays in this position, facing the sun shining through the curtains. She stares at it. Betsy closes her eyes. She opens them. Shakes. Betsy drops her arms and walks away. In the dining room, on the table, a pottery dish holds a bunch of red pomegranates. In the kitchen, Holly adds an ingredient from a sifter into a pot on the stove. Holly sees the word mum on her phone. She places the phone in her pocket. Isabel does her homework on the dining room table. She looks at Holly in the kitchen. Holly slices blackberries in half.
I'll get it.
I'll go.
Holly rushes to the door. Isabel leans back to look. Holly opens the front door.
Dominic, hey!
I'm Mrs. Hughes.
Look at you! Your hair!
I know, it's grown, hasn't it?
I'm so glad you came.
Yeah, me too, me too. You look lovely.
Oh, she's in a room.
Thank you.
Dominic, the young man with the beard, enters.
Hey! Shoes.
Yeah, sorry.
In Betsy's room, she sits on the bed, staring off.
Bets?
She doesn't move. Dominic slowly opens the door.
Hey.
Betsy slowly turns her head and looks at Dominic.
Yeah.
Betsy grins.
So what, are you dying or something?
Close the door.
In the bathroom, Holly cleans the sink. She quickly looks at herself in the mirror. Holly listens. She slightly smiles. She stacks rolls of toilet paper with her rubber-gloved hand. She stares at the stack of toilet paper. She looks at the roll with the origami sailboat. She furrows her brow. Betsy strides in.
Oh. Hi, Mum.
Hey. So nice to hear you laugh.
Thanks.
They look at each other.
Mum, I need to...
Yeah, sorry.
Betsy watches Holly leave and closes the door. Betsy slowly approaches the bathroom mirror. She looks in it. In Betsy's bedroom, Dominic lies on her bed. He moves his hand through his curly hair.
What?
Betsy lies down beside him.
Can I tell you something?
In the kitchen, Holly tosses a salad of green and purple endive with red beets. Holly listens and stops tossing. She walks to the bottom of the stairs.
Are you leaving already?
Yeah.
You're not hungry?
No, thank you.
Dominic forces a smile and waves.
Really nice seeing you.
Holly looks up the stairs at Betsy's bedroom. Inside the bedroom, standing beside the bed, Betsy holds a thick sweater. She purses her lips and puts it down. Holly approaches the bedroom and stands in the open doorway.
Hey, what are you doing?
Just thought I'd give Isabel some things.
Hey.
Holly sits on the bed.
Dominic didn't stay long. Did you have a fight?
I didn't. He might have.
Hey, come here.
Holly puts her arms around Betsy.
It will get better.
Betsy grimaces and looks away.
Just wait and see. You are my special girl, Bets.
Hey.
Isabel stands in the doorway.
Hey.
Everything okay?
Yeah, Betsy's gonna give you some of her clothes.
Holly walks past Isabel and touches her on the shoulder.
Supper's in an hour.
In the dining room.
I mean, I've basically been leading like my whole secondary school education up until this. It's not even fair, because kids who are like year 11 now got to do it last year.
Isabel wears the sweater.
Yeah, apparently just because one boy took it too far, they're not even going to let us do it this year.
What?
I said, apparently just because one boy took it too far, they're not even going to let us do it this year.
Who told you that?
Everyone knows. Everybody.
Can you stop waving your spoon?
Mum, it's important! It's tradition. I mean, Betsy got to do it, right, Bets?
Betsy stares glassy-eyed at the ceiling. Holly looks at Betsy.
Bets?
Betsy looks at Isabel and looks away. Holly looks at Betsy's empty plate and glass.
Can we just have a nice supper?
I'm not hungry.
Not funny.
I'm not trying to be funny.
Isabel looks down. Holly looks at the table and chews slowly. Holly looks at Isabel and lifts her glass of wine.
Is this because I stopped your allowance this week?
It's £12. Yeah, I'm sure I'll manage.
Betsy's eyes dart between Isabel and Holly.
Maybe she's just not hungry.
Do you know there are families in the world that have nothing? They have nothing! They have to eat cats!
Cats?
Isabel smiles at Betsy, who smiles slightly.
It's not funny, Isabel.
Holly looks at Isabel. Mm-hmm. Holly stands and glares at Betsy.
Get up. Don't walk. Get up.
Holly grabs Betsy's arm.
Mum!
Oh, you eat your food, please.
Mum, you're hurting me.
I have tried really hard with you. I have listened.
Mum!
Mum!
Stay there!
Stop! For you, it's one thing. It's your body. I don't like it, but it is your body. But you do not. You do not infect this family with your ideas.
I'm not.
You are! Do you think it's funny? You're laughing at me. Is this like some little game? It's not a fucking game, Betsy! It's a sickness. You're sick.
I'm not sick.
Okay, people do not just stop eating. Do you know what it's called? It's anorexia. Do you know who gets it? Entitled middle-class white girls.
I'm not anorexic!
You wait!
Holly leaves the bedroom. Betsy watches her from the bed. Holly carries a scale and enters the bedroom. She puts it on the floor at the foot of the bed.
Get on. Get on! Will you fucking get on the scale?!
Betsy scoots off the bed. Holly glares at her. Betsy stands on the scale. Holly removes a notebook and pen from Betsy's desk.
We are weighing you. Twice a day. Betsy's weight. What's the
It's the 17th.
Thank you. Once in the morning, once at night.
Betsy rolls her eyes and shakes her head.
Twice a day.
Holly gives her a look and walks away. Betsy steps off the scale. In the notebook are columns of changing dates with an unchanging weight of 9 stone. The numbers on the scale spin, coming to a rest at the number 9. Holly flips through the notebook and makes another entry. Betsy gets off the scale and lies on her bed. She rests her head on her hand and reads a book. Holly looks at her and leaves. In the living room, dead thin branches in a vase on a dark marble table.
Hey, Granny.
Hello. Hello, darling.
Hi, Mum. I'm put this in the kitchen.
Is she in her room?
Yeah.
Here.
I see, sir.
Take a look at this.
Holly's mother hands her a book and walks away. Holly opens it. On the cover, Tranquil Water, Private Retreat. A shadow falls on Betsy, who lies in bed. Betsy opens her eyes and sits up.
Oh, hi, Granny Jean.
Hello, you. What time do you call this? Were you planning on sleeping through lunch?
How's your boyfriend?
You mean John, do you, darling?
John.
The truth is, he bores me.
They share a smile.
Mum didn't say you were coming.
Well, I heard you hadn't been feeling very well. So I thought I'd visit, check on you.
That's nice.
I thought so. Do you remember the summer you stayed with Granddad and me?
Betsy shakes her head.
Yes, you do. It was the first time you and your sister stayed overnight with us. Remember? Granddad rented Harry Potter. Thought you'd love it. Oh, yeah, maybe. Your mother was livid. You had to sleep in their bed for weeks after that. Do you know she threatened never to leave you with me again? It's as if she was doing me the favour, dropping you terrors off at my house. Remember the morning after Pottergate, don't you? I had work to do, and I told you to go and find something to do outside.
No, I don't remember.
I do. Later, I made lunch and I came out to find you. That's when I heard you talking to someone.
Who?
I watched you, Betsy, for a good long time. And you had no idea. That night, you tried to get into my bed. You came through, woke us both, and said you could hear something under your own bed. You were terribly upset. Tears and everything. Granddad bought it, hook, line and sinker, but I took you back to your room. To your own bed, and made you stay there until you fell asleep.
I don't remember that either.
Then you won't remember rehearsing the whole thing that morning. I watched you practice the routine in the garden. Word for word. You had it down to the tears. It was all a little act to get what you already knew you wanted. I rather admired you. What a shrewd little performer she is, I thought. We've all got problems, darling. Don't be the show.
Betsy, teary-eyed, takes a breath and looks away.
Get up and come down for lunch.
June leaves. Betsy stares off. Daytime, at the retreat, in a sitting room, three young women sit on couches. An older woman sits on a chair facing them.
So, girls, what we'd like to do this week is a diary share, if you wouldn't mind. Juliet, would you like to go first?
So, on Wednesday, I went around the grounds and...
Holly and Betsy watch from the hall.
The days will be quite structured in the early weeks, but you'll find with time you'll gain freedom to make more choices. Please, Betsy, feel free to look around.
Betsy nods and smiles. Hands in her coat pockets, she walks slowly away.
Are there any restrictions on visits?
Not outside of the designated therapy hours.
When are those?
It varies.
We take her out for special occasions, holidays?
Not without prior consent from a therapist, no.
Betsy walks out into a well-manicured garden. A young woman in a bathrobe approaches, followed by an older woman wearing a name tag.
Ask you really politely, I would have it on Saturday. When I normally have it, I'll have it now. There's something obviously bothering you.
Fuck you!
Holly enters the garden, followed by the guide.
You don't understand, it's important.
Let's go back inside.
It's the rules. I'm sorry, I can't. I don't care about the rules.
Betsy.
Sorry, it's just the way it is. You're going to have to just keep calm.
Betsy.
Stop following me!
Betsy furrows her brow. She follows Holly and the guide. In the parking lot, Holly searches in a handbag.
What? They were right in here. I put them in the shitting bag so I wouldn't lose them.
Maybe you left them in the office.
I didn't leave them in the office.
Maybe.
Holly dumps out the handbag.
Good.
Betsy kneels down.
Okay. Mom. Yeah?
Can we go somewhere before we go home?
At the forest near Dominic's house.
This is where it all started.
Holly follows Betsy across a field towards the wall of trees.
I was at the party, but I was... in my head, you know?
At night, Betsy stands alone looking into the forest.
I was trying to think about what really interests me, the future and where I fit into it. I tried to imagine me leaving home and Izzy growing up and you getting old, but I realised I just couldn't see it. Thinking about all that stuff, it just felt fake. I came outside for some air.
Betsy is alone in the dark forest.
That's when I felt it. I felt something calling me, and it brought me here, and it showed me.
Betsy turns in a circle. She stares up at a light. Wide-eyed, Betsy looks at Holly, who furrows her brow.
I can feel what's coming for us. It's just darkness. Mom, for everyone. It's okay, don't be scared. I've been chosen.
Betsy smiles. Holly swallows.
Oh, my love.
What?
I didn't see it before, but I see now. You're unwell.
I'm not unwell. It's a blessing.
And we'll go back to the doctor. Mm? And we're going to tell him all of this, okay?
There's nothing wrong with me.
We will find you a specialist that understands. You know, a psychiatric one. Because what you're doing is very dangerous.
I'm not losing weight, Mum.
I know that, but I'm scared, okay?
This isn't something you have a choice in, Mum. Neither of us do.
Let's go.
Come on. Mum. Mum, if you don't support me, I'll have to leave.
I will have you sectioned before I let you leave.
No, you won't.
I will.
But you won't.
I fucking will, Betsy!
If you did that, I'd kill myself.
Holly slaps Betsy. Holly holds her hands over her mouth. Betsy, with furrowed brow, looks at her.
Haven't you ever wondered what the point of everything is? You have to trust me, okay?
How can you know this?
It's like there was a hollow in me before, and now it's been filled.
I feel it.
Betsy presses her hands against her stomach.
It's faith.
She looks skyward with a big smile. Holly furrows her brow. Cut to black. White letters appear 6 months later. At the skating rink, Isabel skates with gentle strides. Her hair up in a bun, she wears a turtleneck sweater. She extends her arms and moves them slowly. Alone on the ice, Isabel skates to a stop. She looks at Holly, alone in the stands, with her phone to her ear.
It's just been especially challenging this year, so I'm looking for some help.
Isabel skates away.
I appreciate your concern, but I'm asking to withdraw the funds.
Holly stares at the floor.
Yes, I'm at my last resort. All of it. I need to withdraw all of it.
Holly blinks.
So how much is the fee?
She nods.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your help.
Holly looks at her phone. She stares off. She looks at the skating rink. It's empty.
Can we leave?
Isabel stands behind her.
Oh, hey! How was it, being back on the ice?
I don't think I want to do it anymore.
Isabel walks away. In a car, Holly drives. Isabel stares out of the window. Holly looks at Isabel and back at the road. At Holly's house, in the yard, Granny June, dressed in black with dark sunglasses, sits on a white wall.
Oh, Granny's there.
Granny June puts down her cigarette and waves. Isabel slides open the glass door.
Hey, Granny. How long have you been outside?
Ages.
I didn't know you were coming.
Lovely to see you too.
Izzy, can you go and check on Betsy, please?
Isabel looks at Holly.
Do as your mother bids you, Isabel.
Isabel leaves.
Are you thirsty?
Yeah, sure.
In the kitchen, June sees a book. On the cover, Long Hunger, How the Body Deals with the Absence of Nutrition.
I'm surprised you didn't call ahead.
I've called many times. Don't answer the phone, Holly.
Are you hungry? I could make some hummus.
I thought you couldn't leave her alone now.
That's fine, if she's in a dormant phase.
I see. A dormant phase.
Holly unwraps a package of raw meat.
There are other rehab facilities to consider. Internationally renowned institutions. Doesn't have to be in the UK. You know, money isn't an issue.
I'm not sending her away, Mum.
Okay. But she does need professional care.
Her GP checks on her weekly. And she has seen every specialist under the sun.
Don't exaggerate.
Holly slams the raw meat on the counter. Holly glares at June.
Oh, for God's sake, Holly.
In Betsy's room, a white embroidered sheet covers a lavender silk blanket. Betsy lies with her hands over her stomach. Her eyes are closed, her mouth open. Isabel enters.
Bats.
Isabel stands at the foot of the bed. She looks at Betsy. Isabel walks to the side of the bed and sits on it. Isabel places her hand on Betsy's and caresses it with her thumb. In the kitchen.
Do you remember that year we had in Osaka when I was teaching? You were six, I think.
You're going to tell me a story, Mum?
I'm studying folklore. I remember being very caught up in comparative oral histories. It's a big thing back then. Wonderful stories. Living stories. There's this particular one that keeps coming back to me. With Betsy being as she is. The Futakuchi Onna. It's a ghost tale, really. Very old one. A poor farmer marries a beautiful young woman. The woman, of course, represents the ideal Japanese wife. Courteous, obedient, quiet. Perfect in every way, except for one thing. She never eats. Not a single grain of rice enters her mouth. So this begins to gnaw at the farmer. The mystery of it is hard for him to ignore. But what's worse is that his reserves are being depleted. It's as if he were feeding too, instead of just himself.
Isabel listens for Betsy's breath.
So one day, this peasant farmer plots to stay back from his fields to spy on his new bride.
Isabel removes Betsy's mouthguard.
He does this and discovers the Futakuchi Onna dining on his reserves, living on the back of his precious bride's head. A grotesque mouth hidden among her braided hair.
June nods. Isabel opens Betsy's eyelids. One eye is askew.
Are you suggesting Betsy's been possessed by a demon?
The eye rolls back into place. Isabel jerks her hands away.
Quite the opposite, Ollie. I believe Betsy's possessed this family. You, most of all.
Holly looks away.
Mum! Izzy! Okay, Izzy, I'm coming! Mum! I'm coming! Mum!
Blood drips from Isabel's nose.
Go, 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 go.
Isabel leaves. Betsy sits upright in her bed, staring ahead, eyes wide.
Baby.
Holly watches her. Betsy stares. Betsy's nostrils flare. Betsy jolts out of bed and wanders around the room.
Honey, I'm here.
Sometimes it's like she's completely gone.
When she taps out, she'll say those things and...
Isabel sits with June and holds a towel to her bloodied nose.
She does that really dark stuff.
Like what?
Like, talk about end of times, ideas of what she thinks coming. She says she has to prepare, she has to serve or whatever. That's why she won't eat. That's her part in it all.
She does this really scary thing, right, when she stops breathing and the temperature drops and she's like ice cold.
What does the doctor say about that?
Who are you talking to?
Someone used to come like once a week, but Betsy made them stop. She said they like get in the way of her work.
Betsy screams at Holly.
This is utterly ridiculous. Holly, what happened?
It's a sort of a fit.
Holly looks at Isabel's nose.
Thanks, it hurt.
But of course it hurts. Look at her.
It's fine, don't worry.
It was an accident. It was an accident.
At the dentist.
I fell on the ice.
You're lucky you didn't break your nose. Both top and lower incisors are fine, but without the brace, her crossbite has advanced as predicted.
It's not causing her any pain, though, is it?
Any headaches? Neck aches? Well, we'll just have to keep an eye on the crowding. When am I going to see Big Sister? She's overdue.
Yeah, I must get her in.
Holly?
Yes?
Is everything okay?
Yes, fine.
I wonder, would you like to review your payment plan? Your last 2 months are outstanding, and with Betsy missing appointments.
I am so sorry. I had this issue with online banking, and I will sort it out this afternoon. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Of course.
The dentist nods. At Holly's house, June folds a red cloth. Isabel and Holly enter.
Who was that?
Yeah, it was fine.
Holly opens Betsy's door. The bed is empty. She looks around. Holly sees Betsy in the corner, strangling herself.
What have you done? What are you doing? Betsy! Take your hands off. No, darling. Darling, breathe, please. Izzy! Izzy, help! Izzy! Please help me! Darling, stop! Darling! No!
Mom?
Izzy, help me!
What was she doing to herself?
Holly looks at June.
You were supposed to watch her!
Betsy, just breathe.
Holly pulls at Betsy's hands. Betsy's eyes bulge. In the living room, Betsy stares at the ceiling.
I see the stars.
Holly, Isabel, and June sit and watch.
What else?
The stars, they pour out of eyes and mouths and they burn it all.
What do they burn?
Everything. It's inside all of us. Stars, light, purpose.
Betsy's face turns red. She contorts her face.
Darling.
Holly rubs Betsy's back. Isabel brings a box of tissues. Holly wipes Betsy's mouth with tissues. Isabel watches. Holly brushes Betsy's hair from her face. Betsy smiles.
Hi, Mom.
Hey. Betsy, where's all this coming from?
Hi, Gran.
Why are you doing this?
Doing what? Oh, Betsy.
tell us what's wrong.
Holly hugs Betsy. Her head rests on Betsy's shoulder. Betsy smiles at June.
Don't worry, Granny. This will be over really soon.
When, Betsy?
Betsy extends her hand. June holds it between hers.
There's still time. Mum's still searching for it. I want you all to know this hope. This feeling.
Betsy's smile fades. A tear runs down next to her nose. She slowly turns and looks at Holly.
Dad says that he's sorry.
What?
What did you say?
Betsy,
I'm so tired.
Betsy, no, what did you just say?
Betsy, please.
Did you just say?
Holly touches her forehead to Betsy's. She kisses it. She covers Betsy's shoulder with a blanket. She cradles Betsy's head in her arm. Isabel and June look at each other.
Holly, surely you can see this is getting seriously out of control. I'm worried about both of you. You're a mess. Isabel's a nervous wreck and Betsy's all...
What is what?
She's disturbed. I mean, I can see she's convinced herself of this fiction, but you're...
What am I?
You're going along with it. It's time we get you both help.
I don't want your kind of help.
What does that mean?
I don't want to send my daughter away to get fixed. To get pumped full of lithium till all the lights go out. With not one visit.
You were very ill. I did what was recommended. I did my very best.
Well, it wasn't good enough.
Holly glares at June.
I want you to go. I don't want you here.
They stare at each other. June looks away. Holly watches her get off the couch and walk away.
Please tell Isabel she's welcome to come and stay with me if she needs a break.
In Betsy's room, Isabel sits at the foot of the bed, staring at the floor. Betsy, eyes closed, lies in the bed. Her head rests on purple pillows. In the living room, an almost empty glass of wine sits on a coffee table beside a binder. The binder is open to an article entitled, The End of the World. In the bathroom, red liquid is spit into the white sink. Holly brushes her teeth. They are covered in red. Holly listens. With toothbrush in hand, she approaches the open door to Betsy's room. A bright light emanates from an overturned lamp on the floor. Holly enters the room. She looks at Betsy sitting on the floor, hunched over, touching something in front of her.
Bets? Bets?
Holly stands over Betsy, who ignores her. Globs of green viscous liquid cling to Betsy's shirt. Holly, hand over her mouth, kneels beside her. On the floor, maggots writhe in a pile of beets, peas, and endive.
Betsy, what is this?
With her hands, Betsy paws at the mash of vegetables. Holly pulls back Betsy's hair, revealing the side of Betsy's face. Betsy raises her hand to the back of her head. Her lips don't move. Her eyes are closed. She takes a handful of vegetables and places it at the back of her head. With a furrowed brow, Holly looks at the back of Betsy's head. Betsy places another handful behind her head. Holly sees the mashed vegetables covered in saliva. She looks closer. Betsy's fingers push the mash into a hole in the back of her neck. Holly clears the mash with her hands, revealing a mouth with crooked rows of teeth. It closes. Nighttime, in the living room. On the couch, Holly awakens. Her hands cover her chest. She watches a fly circling a desk lamp. In Betsy's room, Holly places an intercom on the desk. Isabel watches from the foot of the bed. Holly takes another one and presses a button on the back. At Dominic's house, Isabel sits on a couch, young men on either side.
So your sister, did she like fucking walk around with her eyes shut or some shit?
But she's like a sorcerer, isn't she?
A sorcerer is like an old guy with a beard off Game of Thrones or some shit, you dickhead.
Fuck off. Dom dated her. He said she thinks she's some sort of fucking prophet or some shit.
Does Dom still text her?
The young man, Caleb, shrugs. He takes Isabel's hand.
Izzy. Here. Suck it like a stork.
Isabel takes a vape pen from another young man. She takes a puff and hands it back.
No, you've got to do it again if you want to get high.
Caleb shakes his head. He looks at Isabel. She wears devil horns. Cosmetic drops of blood are drawn under her eyes and on the side of her mouth. She takes another hit. She exhales vapor from her mouth and nose. In a bedroom, Caleb sits on a bed without his shoes. He holds a red balloon. He looks at a door. Isabel enters. She wears a string of red Christmas lights.
Hey.
Hi.
Isabel fiddles with the lights. She stumbles and walks towards the bed. She removes the string of lights. Caleb looks at his phone. In red high heels, Isabel stumbles. Caleb checks his phone. She looks at him.
Is it your girlfriend?
No. It's Dom.
Caleb looks at Isabel. She stands at the foot of the bed. She removes her red jacket. They look at each other. Isabel removes her blue sweater. Under it is a tight red sleeveless top. Caleb removes his sweater. Isabel begins to lift her red top.
What the fuck are you doing? Are you stupid, Caleb? Get up!
Caleb leaves the room. Dominic looks at Isabel.
Are you all right? Yeah.
You sure?
Isabel nods.
I'm gonna take you home, okay?
Dominic leaves. Isabel clutches her clothes. At Holly's house, in the living room, she sits on the couch. She turns the page of a book on the coffee table. She holds a notebook in her other hand. She writes a note in the notebook. Holly looks up from her writing. She sees Isabel and Dominic through the glass door walking outside. Dominic, behind Isabel, holds her shoulders. She staggers. Dominic looks at Holly.
Are you gonna...
Isabel vomits on the window. She looks through the window at Holly.
It's all right. Just let it out. Here we go. You okay?
In the living room, Dominic stands.
Oh, Mrs. Hughes, I am so sorry. I had no idea Caleb had alcohol. And I know that's not a good enough excuse, but... he's just a cheeky shit.
What did she say to you?
What is he?
No. Betsy. Right, you were here, and then you left. We haven't seen you.
Oh.
What did she say to you?
She...
Dominic, sit down.
Holly pats the couch. Dominic sits.
You know, she just told me that she wasn't eating. And that she didn't want to. And then she just said she wasn't coming back to school. And then she told me what happens. In the end, Mrs. Hughes, about the stars and how we need to reset. She told me the reason she's been chosen is because you're the first star and she has to prepare you.
Dominic blinks back tears. He looks at the floor.
Do you pray, Dominic?
He nods and touches the cross hanging from a chain around his neck.
Yes, Mrs. Hughes.
Does it work?
I don't think that's the point, Mrs. Hughes.
Holly nods slowly. She looks away. Bare feet with painted red toenails descend the stairs. Holly sleeps on the couch, the intercom in her hand. Isabel stands over her. She shakes Holly. Holly does not wake. Isabel holds a gold necklace around her neck. She walks into the kitchen. Isabel walks up the stairs. In Betsy's room, she lies in bed, her eyes closed. Isabel crawls on top of her and shoves slices of prosciutto in Betsy's mouth. Prosciutto sticks out of Betsy's mouth. Isabel shakes her. Betsy's eyes remain closed. In the living room, Holly is awakened by the sound on the intercom. Holly puts her hand on Isabel's shoulder. Holly pulls Isabel away. She embraces her.
I am so scared of what's going to happen next.
No, you stop that.
Come on, please, just eat it. Please.
Isabel pushes Holly away.
This is so fucked up!
Holly removes the meat from Betsy's mouth. She picks up the slices on Betsy's chest. She closes Betsy's mouth by pushing up her chin. Daytime, in the living room, June sits on the couch. She holds a mug in both hands. Holly smokes in the backyard. Isabel walks down the stairs to the living room. She looks at Holly.
Mum?
Holly quickly throws the cigarette down on the ground and steps on it. She enters the living room.
Hey. Hey, Mama.
They embrace.
It's just for the weekend.
No? Yeah. I love you so much. She's your special girl, right?
Isabel steps back.
No.
You know, the thing is, I mean, she's right. Like, you know, all this. Me, you, Dad, Gran. It's nothing. I mean, everything is just meaningless if it goes away.
No, you mustn't think
if she's lying, then... I don't know. But, I mean, either way, she showed me.
What did she show you?
Showed me what it's like to be nothing.
Isabel looks at June.
Gran, I'm gonna wait outside. Darling.
June places her mug on the coffee table. She approaches Holly.
Don't worry, she'll be fine. I wanted to apologize. They're your daughters, and I know how much you love them.
Holly's eyes fill with tears.
You're a very good mother.
June leaves. Holly, mouth agape, stares off. She blinks and presses her lips together. On a table is a bowl of exotic fruit, green mold on some of them. Nighttime, in Betsy's room, Holly sits on the floor at the foot of the bed.
I was just pregnant. When we decided to buy this house, we walked in here and he said, "This is Betsy's room."
Betsy sleeps.
If he were here now, then he would know what to do. He was so bloody confident. It was so good because it meant I didn't have to be, I could just be me. I didn't have to pretend to hold it all together. I don't want to pretend to be that person anymore. I just want it all to be over. I don't want to be in control. I just want to let go of everything.
Holly swallows hard. She puts her arm on the bed. She looks at Betsy. Holly strokes her own head and rests it on the bed. Betsy sleeps. In the kitchen, Holly pours milk into a bowl of seeds and grain. She fills the bowl to the brim with milk. Holly looks at the bowl. Holly walks through the dining room out to the backyard. She leans against the window. She lights a cigarette and takes a big puff. She stares off. She takes another drag. She looks in the sky. Her eyes widen. The moon above the trees is red. Her mouth opens. Betsy stands alone in the forest. She stares up. Her lips are red with lipstick. Her mouth is moving. Her irises reflect the red moon. Her body rocks slowly to and fro. She closes her eyes, then opens them. A liquid drips down her leg onto her socks and boots. Betsy moves her mouth. The red moon reflects in her eyes. In the kitchen, the seeds float on the rotating milk in the bowl. In Betsy's room, Holly sits on the bed with Betsy.
It's an awakening. A new world for all of us. a new way of life, a fresh start. But the heat will consume everything, and the stars will burn it all so that our work can finally start again. It's okay, it's okay. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to be afraid of it, because I've seen what happens afterwards. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. I'm gonna need you. I'll need you. I've seen now. I'm gonna need you to help me, okay? That's your purpose. That's why I've seen for you. That's why you're my mum. Your love is key to all of this, okay? Do you understand? And I know that you've suffered. And I know that Isabel has too. No, I'm sorry. I can't wait for you to see what comes after. Then you can finally know that it's all worth it. Okay, then you can finally believe me. Right, I need you to promise, Mum, okay?
Holly nods.
I need you to promise because I'm going to say things. Okay, and I'm going to be really, really tempted to give up, but you can't let me, okay? You have to be strong.
I will try.
No. You have to promise.
I promise.
Really, really promise?
I do, I promise you.
Betsy nods. She smiles. It fades. Betsy pulls Holly toward her. They embrace and hold each other tight. Holly closes her eyes. On top of Betsy, Holly struggles to hold her down. Holly strokes Betsy's arm. Betsy's eyes are closed. Screaming, Betsy writhes on the bed. Holly presses her palms together. She looks up and prays.
Stop it!
Betsy's eyes and mouth are closed. Holly holds her hand. Holly struggles with Betsy. Daytime. Holly and Betsy sleep. Betsy's head rests on Holly's stomach. Holly wears an embroidered silk robe. Holly moves her head. She touches her forehead with the back of her hand. She rubs her eyes. She squints at the morning sun shining through the sheer curtains. Holly gently touches Betsy's bare shoulder. Betsy has bruises on her neck. She gets out from underneath Betsy and sits on the side of the bed. Holly brushes the hair from her face. She holds her head in her hands, fingers over her mouth. She notices the scale on the floor. She tilts her head. It shows the number 9. Holly looks at Betsy sleeping. Betsy moves. She opens her eyes. She looks at Holly. Holly brushes the hair from her face. She presses her lips together. Her head jerks.
Mom.
She works her jaw.
Hey, it's okay. You can if you want. It's okay.
Holly holds a phone. On it, 999.
It's okay.
I believe you.
Betsy smiles. Holly smiles. They lie down, looking at each other.
Hey. Hey.
They hold each other's hands, their heads close together. They close their eyes.
I'm sorry, Mum.
Holly kisses Betsy's forehead.
Don't be sorry.
I'm sorry that I hurt you.
You didn't hurt me. You made me strong.
Betsy smiles. She looks at Holly.
You did this, you know. Your love made all of this possible.
They look at each other. Holly smiles. Holly kisses Betsy on the forehead. She rests her cheek on Betsy's. She caresses Betsy's shoulder. The smile fades from Holly's face. She furrows her brow. Betsy's eyes are open and lifeless. Holly moves away from Betsy. She stares at Betsy. She kneels by the side of the bed. Betsy is motionless. Holly shudders. She covers her mouth with her hands. Holly stands. The morning sun bathes Betsy's face. Holly opens the front door. In her flowing white silk robe, she goes outside. Wearing white socks, Holly staggers down the middle of the residential street. Parked cars on either side. Holly's eyes are bloodshot and teary. Her mouth open, she frowns. There's no one in sight. She falls to her knees. Skyward. A golden light reflects in her eyes. Light spreads over her face. Holly smiles, her mouth open. Her eyes widen. She glows. Her skin becomes translucent. The light emanating from her grows brighter and brighter. The world fades into white. Cut to black. Audio description written by Henry Kaufman and Stacey Kaufman. Narrated by David Ault. Described by Audio Eyes. Credits appear. Directed by Ruth Paxton. Written by Justin Bull. Sienna Guillory. Jessica Alexander. Ruby Stokes. Kane Zajaz. And Lindsay Duncan. Produced by Leonora Darby. Mark Lane, James Harris, Nick Bauer, and Laurie Vase. Executive producers, Deepak Nayar, Jeremy Baxter, Justin Bull, Patrick Fisher, Richard Condal. Harcourt Capital and Riverstone Pictures present, in association with Filmarca, Creativity Capital and Hanway Films, a T-Shop production, Riverstone Pictures, Rep 8 production, a film by Ruth Paxton, A Banquet. Director of Photography, David Liddell. Editor, Matthias Fekete, HSE. Production Designer, Sophia Stocco. Music by CJ Mira. Casting Director, Carla Strong, CSA. Credits Scroll. Cast, Holly, Sienna Guillory, Betsy, Jessica Alexander, Isabel, Ruby Stokes, Dominic, Kane Zajaz, June, Lindsay Duncan, Jason, Richard Keep, Doctor, Decker Wormsley, Sarah, Rena Mahoney, Careers Advisor, Jonathan Nayati, Dentist, Walter Van Dyke, Clinic Manager, Andrew Steele, Distressed Patient, Kim Chapman, Caleb, Adam Abu, Sean, Finn Bennett, Jack, Dylan Clout, Anna, Selena Thompson, Ice Skating Coach, Kevin Marshall, Maya, Hannah Ankra, Sophia, Susie Voce, Lewis, Atlas Azure, Harry, Leon Finnan, Tired A&E Doctor, Charlie Roberts, Will, Zach Douglas, Another Boy, Jack Redsell, Gamer One, Sonny Newland, Dental Receptionist, Holly Turner. Credits continue. Copyright Rep Productions 8 Limited 2021.